morning, everyone. Hello. I'm here. I hope you are. Okay, great. I'm Peter. I'm one of the members of Grace Church. You managed to put up with me for so long. God bless you. But it's great to be here. And I'd like to be sharing this morning on part of Hebrews that we've been going through as a church. Some people have been sharing. And it's a call to faith, a challenge for us. We're so used to just listening, but we've got to really move into what God's got for us. I just feel that we have to step up. That's my personal opinion of it. And we're thinking of Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 9 to 39. And the question that I have this morning is this. I've got to find it on my notes. I thought I was all here. Matt, you didn't tell me that. Hang on a minute, folks. I'm with you. Are you with me? Good, because I don't know whether I'm with myself at the moment. Let's have a look. Hang on. Okay, there we go. Not quite. There we are. So as we think on Hebrews, book of Hebrews, letter of Hebrews, we were basically thinking about the purpose of Hebrews. And one of them was to wean I don't know how we say that in English. Let me see. Hebrew Christians into real true Christianity. How to get them really into that full life in God that God had for them. And we find the same today when we find other people that have come from other backgrounds, religious backgrounds. How do they really get immersed in what Christianity is all about? And that's one of the purposes of Hebrews that we've been seeing. The other one of Hebrews is actually to present the superiority of Jesus. There's no one like him. We had that prophetically this morning from this young man. It's brilliant, isn't it? Our God reigns, and we are with him. And then the third aspect of Hebrews, if you like, is to set forth the promises, talk about the sacrifices, the priesthood, and the sanctuary, all of the Old Testament, and we see that Jesus is better than all these, greater than all these. And this is our Jesus. And one of the secrets of helping someone get into a deeper walk with God is to encourage them to get to know God. It's so easy to get wrapped up in theory, but what the Hebrew writer is on about, he's gone into the whole book of this book, right up to these verses, telling us about Jesus, who he is, and all that sort of stuff. And then he's coming in these verses from verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10 into the practical teaching of what this all means. And this is where we are with Hebrews. I've got to find this is still working. And we find three divisions in Hebrews, okay? And I'm going to take my watch off because otherwise I'll get lost on time. We've got three things in Hebrews, three divisions. First of all, there's a warm welcome. I like to be welcomed, don't you? Yeah. I like hugs. Okay, that's me. But Jesus, God, wants us to draw near to him. I think that's one of the most awesome statements we can think about this morning. And I want to really dwell on that more than the rest of it. So, but we find too, a second part of it, there's a warning. There's that excitement of coming into God's presence. And yet there's a warning. Don't draw back. And it's very easy to lose out on what God's got for us because we begin to doubt because things don't work out the right way of what that we think they should do because we have persecution, because we have problems. And it's the tendency is to turn away from Jesus. But then we come into the third one and it's a word of wisdom in verses 32 to 39. We have to draw our strength in faith from God. So how do we do that? And this is what this author's on about. This is where I think he's really going. This is not where I think his heart is bouncing. First of all, he presents us with a true reality. He's inviting us to enter into the very presence of God in his throne in heaven. And if we want to do that, that focus, if we want to see that, the whole basis of it is this. That as we look to Jesus and we enter into his throne room, we come to a point where, yes, There's peace. I sense a purpose. There's a sense of God's glory. And as we enter into his throne room, we come into that part where we know God is speaking to us. And before we can move on in God and what he's got for us, we must hear from him. Before we can move on in God and draw from him and serve him, we must have been in his presence. We can't move in the things of God unless we really know him. So as we come to this, let me just read these verses in verses 19 to 25. Brothers and sisters, I'm reading from a version, it's the NIV, but it's been reduced for normal readers and for readers from not using English as their first language. And I just caught this version, and it just struck me, there's some beautiful sayings in it. And as we go through it, you'll probably catch them yourselves. He says this, the author to Hebrews, brothers and sisters, we are not afraid to enter the most holy room. We enter boldly because of the blood of Jesus. His way is new because he lives. It has been opened for us through the curtain. I'm talking about his body. We also have a great high priest over the house of God. So let us come near to God with an honest and true heart. Let us come near with a faith that is sure and strong. Our hearts have been sprinkled. Our minds have been cleansed from a sense of guilt. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. Whoa! Come on, what more do you want from God? Yeah, keep jumping. I get into all and my knees don't get there, but... Let us hold firmly to the hope we claim to have. The one who promised is faithful. Amen. Can you say that, eh? Come on, Hugh. The one who promised is faithful. We declare that in our own lives. Let's consider how we can stir up one another to love. Let us help one another to do good works. Let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let us cheer each other up with the words of hope. Let us do it all the more as you see the day coming when Christ will return. What a package to deliver. What a place to enter into the most holy of holies, into the very presence of God. So we come to this word of welcome. Draw near. And this word of welcome takes up from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, come, let us come boldly to the throne of God. And as we come boldly to this throne, where we receive peace, where we receive strength, where we receive that sense of knowing that God is with us and that we are with him, let's draw near. Do you feel you need a touch from God this morning? Yes. Well, the thing to do is to stop and say, God, I want to enter into your presence. I want to draw nearer to you. I want what you have on your heart for me. I want to know what it's like to be with you and you with me. Oh, amen. Come on, let's start dancing. Let's think about the reality of this. It's a tremendous reality. There's a place of access. It's the holiest of all. It's a place where holiness exists, where God himself reigns. And it's a word that I don't really understand because I'm a sinner and I sin. But if we can imagine a purity, if we can imagine a heart that's pure in its love and its affections, if we can imagine a place where there's no sin, if we can imagine a place where there's only hope and joy and peace and glory and, oh, the presence of God. Can you imagine that? That's where God wants us to be, and that's what he wants us to move out from, here on earth. So this place of access is into the holiest. And then there's a present and only approach. We can enter with boldness. Oh, man alive. We don't have to try and sneak up on God. Here I am, God. It's like someone taking the communion bread, you know. They just take a little bit. Just a little bit. Because they're not quite right with God, so they're afraid. No. Let's take boldly. Let's enter into that place where we can say, God, oh, you're mine and I'm yours and I want what you've got for me. I'm coming boldly because you have opened a way for me. Come with boldness. Having therefore, in verse 19, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And when we're talking about the blood of Jesus, we're thinking of the death of Jesus, that he died on the cross for us, when he poured out his life for us. We come to God because of what God has done for us. He is the one who's opened the way for us. And it's with boldness we enter, not with shame, not with, we say in Spanish, not with pena, not with, oh, you're going, I'm thorny, I'm little. Yes, there's a time for confession. Yes, there's a time to get on our knees. But yes, there's a time to enter boldly and say, God, I want you. I want to be with you. I need you. Oh, God, do something in me. Amen. You got that? That's what we want. Well, that's what I want. Oh, confidence. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You probably know here, but boy, it's hard to do. We can really, I mean, really, 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 trust Jesus. Do you trust him? Right for your life right now. You're saying, God, I've got this problem. I don't know what to do with it, but I trust you to work it out, to be glorified in it. I trust you to bring glory down here. I trust you to bring heaven on earth. You are kingdom come. What it's like in heaven, right here on earth, God. Okay? Enter with boldness. Confidence. And the price of access is blood. I have no other argument. You know the hymn, don't you? I'm not going to sing it. I would love to be able to sing this one, but I have no other argument. I've got no other plea. Oh, it is enough that Jesus, he died for me. Died for you guys. So it's a reason why we should really be willing and want to enter more into the presence and to know God more and more. Oh, we need him. How much we need him. It's a perfect sacrifice, accepted. Jesus has gone into heaven with his blood. He sprinkled it upon the mercy seat, figuratively speaking, and his blood has pardoned all our sins. Past, present, just as well, and future. Can you get that one? I can't get that one. God knows how I'm going to fail him. Yeah, he does, but he still loves me. He still loves you. Doesn't depend on you, depends on him. He died for you. Then we, of course, come into a perpetual access to God. It's a new and a living way has been opened up for us through the veil or through the curtain that is his body. Yes, a new way. That curtain, that veil, it was thick. It separated man from God. There were two rooms, if you like, in the tabernacle, in the kind of temple that they had in the Old Testament. And they were... One man, once a year, was allowed to enter through that thick veil into the very present, holy presence of God. And Jesus has opened a way, there's a new way. It says this, when Jesus was torn in the flesh on the cross, and his life sacrificed, God tore the veil in the temple. I love Mark chapter 15, verse 37 and 38. It says this, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. It doesn't come from the bottom up. It comes from the top down. It's God's initiative so that we can come into his presence. We don't have to kick the door and come on, God, let me in. He's opened the door. And he's opened the door for you to enter into heaven. He's opened the door for you to enter into that presence of peace, into his presence of peace. He's opened the door so that we can have joy in our hearts in spite of all that we're going through. This is our God. then there's a great reality here, isn't there? Same verses, really. Verses 19 to 20, the great reality. That was the great reality. We can enter into his presence. But with that reality, there's a responsibility. And in verses 22 to 25, I'm going to have to go back. Let me go back. I don't think it's worth trying to go back because it doesn't work. But let me try it. It says this, verse 24, let us consider how we can stir up one another in love. Let us help one another to do good's work. Let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing. Instead, let us cheer each other with the words of hope. Let us do it all. Let us do it all the more as you see the day coming. Jesus is coming back. And there are three times this word let, or this phrase let us. This is the amazing thing. Absolutely amazing. Let us. Now I'm going to flick through this now. I don't want you to get too giddy. There you are. That's the reality. The place of access. We've got a present approach right now. We've got the price of the access to God. It is the blood of Jesus and perpetual access. But then we come to, that was the great reality. But now the great responsibility. First of all, we have to learn to exercise our faith. Let's draw near in faith towards God. Then there comes the exercise of our hope. Let's hold firmly to the hope we claim to have, to the one who promised is faithful. And that must be exhibited to the world. We have a faith towards God, a hope that shows that we have confidence in God, and people who have to see that confidence that we have in God. And that's a great responsibility that you and I have. And then we have to exercise love. And it's very particular here. It says, let us consider how we can stir up one another to love. Let us help one another to do good works. Let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this, etc. So let's just think about these three things just at the moment, just to find out the exercise of faith. Wow. We come towards God with a desire in our hearts to meet with him. That's why he says, come up to me, enjoy me. And then we have this hope, a hope exhibited in that we share before the world, that we know in whom we have believed, that we believe that Jesus is there for us. And as we see that, as we see this hope, we have faith for the future. Well, that's something. You have faith for the future? Or are you particularly panicking about politics? I won't go into politics. You might be panicking about the state of the world. Yeah, all part of it. No, we won't get into politics. But, oh man, our God rules even in the future. We have a hope. We have faith for the future. For faith for the future is covered by the promises of God. The writer here mentions the possibility of wavering. And we have to hold fast. We have to hold firmly the confession, what we believe to others. The writer here doesn't exhort them to hold on to their salvation. He's exhorting them to hold on to their security in Christ. We are secure in Christ. You can't keep yourself in God. Hello? Sorry, but you can't. God keeps you. And I love that. I really love that. It's not what I try to do, it's what God has done. But to be able to rest in that when we have problems, difficulties, that's jolly hard. But let's confess that, Lord, I'm going to rest in your name. He didn't exhort them to hold on to their salvation because their security was in Christ and not in themselves. He says this in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he also is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We have a secure hope this morning. Yeah, we're still in this morning. We have a secure hope this morning. He's inviting us to hold fast that confession. And that confession is so important. When we are tempted, like the Hebrew, some of these Hebrew Christians, they were tempted to go back because of the pressures that were brought by their own religion that they had in the past, by society that they lived in, and the government. And the pressures must have been incredible, really. You know, you're a believer amongst a family who are staunch Jewish folks. The word I want is staunch Jewish practices. They practice what they believed, and you're a believer in that, and you're trying to present Jesus to them. That's jolly difficult. And when, as a believer, when a believer has his hope fixed on Jesus, not just the theory, but that experience of knowing him, of being in his presence, of realizing that, of experimenting that peace which passes all understanding in their heart, then they can stand up against whatever comes against them. I'll put it this way. Many years in Venezuela, and we had a simple little thing of doing, of seeing people come to Christ. We never criticized the religion that the other person came from. Our aim was just to present Jesus. Amazing. And I'm just remembering, we had a seminary student that was going to be a priest in a certain denomination, not evangelical. And there were just seven of us there, three couples and this seminary student. And we had communion. Now, I didn't particularly think of communion for him, but God is sovereign. We were there, and we were having communion, and I shared on the communion, no pressure, and just the six of us, I don't think he took it at that time, we just participated in this communion. No saying about transubstantiation and all that, just presenting Jesus. That young man in that moment just gave his life to God. Now, I'm saying that because this is what presenting Jesus is all about. It's about living what we say we believe without actually just nattering on. We have to share. We have to explain what we believe. But we must live it. And this is our confession. This is what we believe. And as that confession, when the pressures of life or the doubts in our heart can't seem to overwhelm us, we must remember always the faithfulness of God. He's faithful. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand why God is challenging us to do this. But he'll take me through. He'll take me through. I don't know why I'm in a tunnel right now. But when you go through a tunnel to come out the other end, and God never stops you halfway, he takes us through. So let me just carry on here a little bit here. The exercise of love, and just two observations. We mustn't neglect saying, let us not give up assembling together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let us cheer each other up with the words of hope. Let us do it all the more as you see the day coming when Christ will return. It's a great command here. Let's not give up meeting together. It is so easy to drop off coming to church. This is a commercial, this one, all right? Okay. It's so easy, man. You get offended. They didn't say hello to you at the door. That welcome wasn't a welcome that you liked. You liked the big hug. And, well, it's okay if you get me a stairs or whatever to climb up, but you know, you like a big hug, or you didn't get that, and somebody didn't speak to you, and you don't come back for a while. Somebody offends you, and you get turned off. We are called of God to keep on getting together. Okay? And as we do that, I don't have time. There's a beautiful Hebrew phrase for us on that one, but we have to get together. And there's a great incentive. Let's cheer each other up with the words of hope. Let us do it the more as you see the day coming when Christ will return. We get together because we are preparing to be together. this getting together, there's one word. It's only used twice in the New Testament, once in Hebrews here, and it means getting together as believers in a church. And the other one is in 2 Thessalonians, and it means getting together when we meet Christ in the air. It's the same word. I tell you what, when I saw that, I danced, really, basically. It's the same word, man. It's equal whether we're in church or going to go up with Jesus in glory. It's the same word. It's the same getting together. It's the same enjoyment of one to another. It's the same need of one with another as we go to be with Jesus. Oh, come on. You can stand up and dance to that one, but I'm got time. But there's a word of warning here too. And this is... I just feel he's sort of sneaking this one in. Okay, I shouldn't say that really, but you know, he's just getting this one in quickly. It's a word of warning. What if we keep sinning on purpose? Is it possible? After we got so much from God, after God's done so much for us, after there's been miracle after miracle in our lives, we have a tendency, do we not, to turn away? We get a difficulty and let's read this. What if we keep sinning on purpose? What if we do it even after we know the truth? Then there's no offering for our sins. All we can do is to wait in fear for God to judge. His blazing fire will burn up his enemies. That puts the wind up me for a start. And this, okay? Anyone who did not obey the law of Moses died without mercy. Okay, Old Testament stuff. Okay, I understand that. If there was two or three witnesses, they would be condemned. What should be done to anyone who has hated the Son of God or has said no to him? What should be done to a person who treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that makes him holy? What should be done to someone who has made fun of the Holy Spirit who brings the God's grace? Oh, that was interesting. Who brings God's grace? Don't you think people like that should be punished more than anyone else? We know the one who said, I am the one who judges people. I will pay them. Well, that's a good bit of information, that. Okay, Kevo. Oh, let's just have a word of little prayer. Lord, we just pray for little Emily. You know what's upset her right now. And we just pray that you just touch her. Come on, Jesus. Just do a miracle. Oh, you're wonderful. Just bless her and mum too. Help her not to be worried. Help her to realize that you are there right now with them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about, folks. Somebody is ill. Oh, hard luck, mate. No, come on, let's pray for one another. Let's go for this in just a moment. The warning expressed, there's a possibility. Yeah, what if we keep sinning on purpose? And there's the prospect, you know, all we can do is to wait in fear for God to judge. It's a stern warning. We have to be careful. And the warning's explained for simple reason. We have to recognize that God is a holy God. He doesn't like us fooling around. Then let me go to the last one and you'll say, phew, and I'm just about on time, Matt. I've lost him. He's gone. Okay. A word of wisdom. Draw your strength from God in faith. Believe when you can't see it. Trust God when it's impossible. He delights to do the impossible. This is our God. So remember those earlier days in verses 32 to 39. Those earlier days after you received the light. At that time you stood firm in a great struggle. You did it even in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were made fun of in front of others. You were treated badly at other times. You stood side by side with people who were being treated like that. You suffered together with people in prison. When your property was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. Well, I would just think if someone tried to take my books, I'd be really upset. Okay? You accepted it with joy. It's okay, bro. It's all right. I won't. I'll try not to walk there. Do you want to clean that?
We'll give it a quick go because we don't want you slipping up on anything.
Well, I don't want to slip either, you know. But
do you mind if we do it in the background?
You don't mind if he carries on in the background, do you? It gives me a chance of an extra 5 minutes. Sorry, guys. Okay, well, I can carry on then, you know. I don't know whether we should do this. Yeah, why not? I think we should give these dear folks a good clap. Come on. That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You suffered together with people in prison. Verse 34. When your property was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew that God had given you better and more lasting things. So don't throw away your bold faith. It will bring you rich rewards. You keep on believing and God's going to do it. You need to be faithful. Then you will do what God wants. You will receive what he has promised. I want you to hold on to that one, okay? You will receive what he has promised. In just a very little while, the one who is coming will come. Yeah, that's Jesus, of course, okay? Okay, he will come. Three vital elements in order to stay faithful. How can we do it? We're up in that throne room. We've had that experience with God. We know that we've been touched by his spirit. We know that he's quickened us. We know that he wants us to move on in him. That there's other land to conquer. There's other things to overcome. And how can we do that? You know, we've experienced glory. We've tasted it. Remember. Remember those earlier days. Remember how God kept you faithful. Remember how God kept you when you were going through it. And some of these guys, they really went through it, man. They really went through it. They lost their property. They were mocked, you know, just like some of us have been mocked in work, you know. You become a Christian and the first thing you get is attacked by everybody else for being a Christian. You know, that's what it's like. And these are a lot worse than us. Remember the past experience with God. When he touched you, how he touched you, what he's done for you, the miracles. It'll help you keep going forward. Okay? Present reality. So don't throw away your faith. Now, this word throw is an interesting word. Very simply, it means, can have one or two meanings. One is of a leaf that falls off a tree. It just gently drops away. Watch, it's going to get slippery, I've been told. So it can really... Oh, I like this. This is really cool, man. Sorry, I don't know how much of this sermon is really getting home to you this morning. Where was I? Yes. It's like a leaf that falls down. It just gently blows. Or it's like something that you just throw away. And the word literally means don't throw away your faith. Don't give up on what God has given you. Keep on going in God. Keep on going with God. This is our God. If God is for us, for goodness sake, who can be against us? Okay? So that's the present reality. And the future prospect. You need to be faithful. Then you will do what God wants. He will receive, you will receive what he has promised. To get that, keep on going, 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 and God will give in his time, in his way, perhaps not in what you want exactly, but he will do it. You believe, you'll receive. It's as simple as that, really. If you don't believe it or begin to doubt it, you won't get it. Trust God to move for you. Trust God to do something new for you. Trust God this morning to quicken you. Can you do that? Yes? Right, I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. Perhaps the musicians, if they take great care, they can come towards. Right. Be careful, guys. It really could be really slippy. But let's pray. I invite you to stand up. You want to go on with God, let's tell him this morning. If you think you failed God, let's just be honest with him and enter again into his presence, okay? I'm going to go with this one. I'm really going to go with this one. Father, I just want to come into your presence. It's been such a crazy morning, really. But Lord, we just thank you that you have created within us a desire to be in your presence, to be lost in you, to know your peace and your joy and that purpose in life that you've got for us, so that we can share you with others. Oh, Heavenly Father, draw us nearer to you, we pray. May your peace pour into our hearts that are troubled today. May your joy quicken us to go working for you and serving you. And oh God, may we be what you want us to be as we realize that you have done all things for us so that we can just walk with you, in you, bringing glory down from heaven to this earth through us. Help us be those carriers of your heavenly glory, we pray. Help us be those people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, Lord bless you. Really, we're not going to finish with this one, but I'm going to give this one. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you victory as you move from heaven's glory into earth's reality. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless. Thanks, Matt. Oh, thanks, love.
To celebrate we communion together, we're going to take a moment to celebrate communion together as the band lead us in a song as well. And today we're going to do that on an individual basis. So don't get the communion, take it back to your seat. Well, you can do that if you want, but we're not going to do it together. We're just going to say, let's take this moment to do it on an individual basis, where Peter's exhorted us in that through that passage to approach the throne of grace. You know, let's express our faith, our individual faith, our individual response to God from whatever particular things that Peter shared that have just connected with you today. Just bring that to the Lord Jesus in this moment. This is a great meal for us to celebrate together, to draw close to his throne of grace with confidence. This new living way that's been opened up for us to come, we get to celebrate that through this meal together. Through this meal of bread and juice, symbolizing his body and his blood shed. It's just incredible. What an opportunity we have this morning to celebrate that goodness. So as the band play, please do come forward. There's two stations for the communion. And just one other thing. Peter encourages us, don't take a measly amount of bread. I always take a big chunk and I'm always chewing away when everyone else is starting to take their drink. But there's something in that of like, we're grabbing hold of God in a bigger way by taking a big chunk of bread. We've got two loaves. Let's see if we can demolish the whole lot. Because God has been so lavish with us, why would we hold back of grabbing hold of his lavish goodness towards us and celebrating this meal in all the fullness that we can? So let's just come, let's worship, let's take this moment to bring ourselves to him, to honour him and praise him. And please mind out for any slippery areas on the floor. Let's do that together.
Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was too short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I feel that there are some people here whose circumstances in life are like the crowd that is just blocking them from seeing Jesus. Maybe it's your work, maybe it's dragging you down, maybe you're feeling anxious and worried and you're struggling to see Jesus in that. Maybe it's your home life, maybe something's going on there, maybe your personal life, maybe you've had something bad happen. Or maybe loads and loads of really good things are happening and you're so consumed with all the blessings that you forget to see Jesus beyond it. So I just want to pray, whatever's going on in your life, know that Jesus does call you to see beyond the crowds, to see him. Because we're told in scripture that when we seek him with all our heart, we will find him. Because he is good, he is honest, he is faithful. So I pray, Heavenly Father, where things are blocking us out, whether things that are good or things that are bad, Lord, I pray that that would just be gone, that we would see you clearly and wholly, knowing that you are good, knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you call us to push in, and that when we see you, we receive grace and mercy in our time of need. And for everyone else, I just pray that if we ourselves in any way, shape or form are that crowd, that we would, as we've been encouraged this morning, to encourage our brothers and sisters, to point them to Jesus and say, there, look, there he is, to usher people through, to say, come on, get a look at this Jesus person. Meet him and be changed. Amen.
We are going to close our time together there, parents, please do go and pick up your children as soon as you can. It's been so wonderful to be together. Let me just remind you about worship together on Wednesday. We get to spend an extended period of time worshipping, honouring Jesus and listening for his voice. So please do make it there if you can. God bless you. See you next week.